I'm Liz.
And I'm Laura. And we're your hosts for From X to Z,
a podcast where we have multi-generational conversations about things that matter
and some that don't.
And we're back.
We're back.
So we're talking today about Halloween because it is...
It's Halloween, guys.
It is here. And it is one of my favorite days of the year. One of
What's your favorite day?
I don't know.
I was like, ooh, good question.
Sunday.
Once I don't a year know. Sunday.
I really like Thanksgiving. I really like Easter.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, who doesn't like Christmas? I don't know. Yeah, so that's Halloween. Yeah. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It's just so much fun and everything leading up to it. And who doesn't like a day where you get to eat candy?
Exactly. So. And dress up. And
yeah.
It's kind of chilly.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see all your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Fall leaves. All the things. Okay. So we are talking about Halloween. Our last episode was all about fall vibes.
All the things.
This makes sense that now we're talking about Halloween. If you did not listen to our fall vibes episode, or actually what? It's not fall vibes.
It's fall feels.
Fall feels.
Mm-hmm.
Because a Gen Z changed the title.
I did. I didn't want to put vibes, so I put feels. Okay, she caught me.
Gen X. Saved it as fall vibes, and the Gen Z changed it to fall feels.
Which that's fine. I mean, I don't know that that's any different. That's I just fine. Like the alliteration.
Yeah, I like it. So if you didn't listen to our fall feels episode, go listen to that because that was a fun one, and we've got a lot of good feedback.
Yeah.
We're just talking about our favorite fall things and some different generational fall things, and so... Yeah, it's fun. Also,
yeah, there's some little Easter eggs in there. If you haven't listened to it about what we're going to talk about next,
Easter eggs in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay,
we should call it little pumpkins.
Yeah, there's some little pumpkin tidbits in there. But we are going to continue a little bit of what we were talking about in our fall fills episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura has some really exciting news to tell all of our listeners, many of which already know.
Yeah.
But what's your news?
Okay, my news is I... got engaged.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh my gosh. So excited.
Yeah. So at the time of this is why I said go listen to Fall Feels because Liz knew at the time that we recorded that episode. And yes. I obviously had no clue.
Yes.
I had talked about how I was going to go get my nails done and my boyfriend's sister was going to take me out. And I thought it was because she was going to the military ball, which it was true. She was. Mm-hmm. But it was also because 3 days later, I was getting engaged and I had literally no idea.
No idea.
No idea. And the whole, I mean, this was a month ago, last week, a month ago. And I still am like kind of like reeling at all of the secrets that everyone was keeping from me. Like I felt like I was living in what is that movie? The Truman Show?
Yes.
I literally felt like I was living in that because every time like I sat down or like someone talked to me, they're like, and this, you didn't know about this, but this was happening. And I was like, am I this clueless about life? Am I this naive? Because people, I mean, they had layers. There was layers of the surprise.
There were layers of lies.
Layers of lies. That's so true. Oh my gosh. That's what this episode is going to be called. Layers of lies. My mom said that they had to because like, yeah. I am so like, I kind of, I'm a nosy person. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to know what's going on.
You're very inquisitive.
I am. And I'm very, very like, I notice things. What's that word? Like you like really notice things. I'm observant. Mm-hmm. Like I'm extremely observant. Mm-hmm. They had to do it. So I mean it makes sense, you know.
Right. I mean, let me just tell you though, what a covert operation.
Seriously.
This was.
It was like FBI level.
Yes. I mean, I was a part of some of the conversations and I was even impressed with the lengths that they were going to make sure that you were in the dark about this.
Yes.
And also the paranoia that started to set in.
Oh, yes.
How many times they were like, do you think she knows? And I'm like, no, she does not know.
I had no idea.
So one of my favorite favorite things was that we had a group text. So, okay, going back to the Fall Feels episode, my husband and I hosted an engagement party mm-hmm. for Laura and her fiance, Kellen, mm-hmm. That was happening the Saturday after the proposal.
Right.
So she could not know anything about this, obviously. And so the planning of the engagement party also had to be top secret. Mm-hmm. At least until the proposal. And so we had a group text message going that was...
It was between you, my sister, and my best friend, yes, right? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
And they changed the group title to...
Spectrum.
So FedEx Shipping was the group chat about the actual proposal.
Right.
The engagement party group text was called Spectrum. And every now and then at the end of our text message conversation, we would send a sign up now for our $49.99 yeah. deal.
Literally. Like, I don't know where this came from. I think my sister found it on a text that she actually had from a bill or something. Uh-huh. I don't even know. And then after, like, you guys would talk about this party, that would be the last thing.
Yes.
So that if I were to look at one of girls' phones.
That's what you would see. Yes. And so, I mean, like, like the attention to detail, the level of which we were trying to keep this from you. And also the Fall Feels episode when I'm talking about, we're talking about doing things around yeah. the house and yeah, kind of cleaning. Like, yeah. And I was talking about power washing our patio because, well, the real reason is because we were getting ready for an engagement party.
And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. You're power washing your patio.
Yeah. And so when Laura's sister listened to that episode, she said she was cracking up because of all the secrets uh-huh. that were not being revealed.
Yeah.
But yet we were talking about different things related to
I felt the you know after I because that came to your house the day after I got uh-huh. engaged, and I was sitting there talking to him. I was like, man, you had like, we do this podcast uh-huh. and you knew about this
yes.
for like almost all of
it was
the
torture
all the episodes that we've done so far.
Yes.
Yes, I live with my best friend. Yes, I see my sister all the time, and obviously like I'm gonna talk to Kellen and stuff, but right. like you also had to hold all the secret in
yeah.
while we have a podcast.
Yeah. Woo. It was torture, but we did it. And so, okay, so tell us a little bit about too. The proposal, because I know people want to know.
Okay. So this happened on September 18th, mm-hmm. and apparently this had been planned since like August mm-hmm. the 1st. Kellen had the ring by then. He had already started looking for the ring like early July. Like,
which this he designed.
Has been, like, I know. He got it custom made. It's very pretty. The gemstone is moss agate with some diamonds. It's very pretty. Which is exactly what I wanted.
It's gorgeous.
It's very pretty. And everyone was like, it's so you. I was like, oh, thank you. I'm just, you know.
We'll have to post a picture of it.
Oh, that would be cute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. So they were like trying to figure out. Kellen is off on Wednesdays or off on Wednesday nights. I knew I was going to be suspicious like on the weekends mm-hmm. because I knew it was like going to happen soon. Mm-hmm. But I never ever thought about Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's on me. I should have been more suspicious, you know.
Oh, I don't know that you could have been more suspicious. But anyway.
So back in August, my mom texted me and she, cause Kellen had the whole family in on this, and she texted me and she's like, actually our whole like family group chat with Kellen and then my best friends in it too. And she was like, we want to have a birthday party for Laura, on her birthday, which was on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And she was like, can everyone make it? And I was like, oh, I don't really want to drive on a weeknight. Like, I can do it. But I was just like, eh, you know, mm-hmm. being a little bit tired. So I was like, what if we do it on that weekend? So then in the FedEx group chat, they were talking about how they need to, like, figure out how to get me on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Because that was going to set up the next month's Wednesday mm-hmm. when I got engaged.
Like
okay,
I
so
said,
literally so many layers. Mm-hmm. So then Kellen was like, okay, what if we actually do it on your birthday? Because the flower farm that we always go to on my birthday isn't open on the weekdays.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's a good point. Okay, we'll just go on a Wednesday. That'll be fine. So he got the green light. He got me to go. Okay. So we go to my birthday party. You know, we have Greek food. My mom made these amazing lamb meatballs. Mm. I mean, oh my gosh, it was so good. Homemade hummus,
oh
homemade pickled onions, homemade pita bread. I mean, it was literally, it was so delicious. Mm. She's such a good cook. So then a couple weeks later, my mom texts and says, same group chat, we want to have a birthday party for Rebecca.
Who's your best friend?
Who is my best friend that is completely involved in all of these group chats, all of the secrets. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. We were actually at our small group when we got this text. And so I was like, Rebecca, my mom just texted that she wants to have a birthday party for you, like on this day, on September. I think at the time it was the 25th.
And that was all part
of the plan. That was all part of the plan. And she played it so well. She was like, what? Your mom wants to have a birthday party for me?
Yeah.
And I was like, I know. Isn't that so sweet? And she like actually started to like tearing up, probably knew that it was like the proposal. She was thinking about it, but like to me it was like, oh, she's just so really touched.
Moved. Yeah,
so that cracked me up, like thinking back about that.
But they picked September 25th knowing that they were not going to keep that date.
Exactly.
But it was part of the plan to throw
me off even more. Yeah. I mean, insane. Literally insane. So we had the September 25th mm-hmm. and then like a week out from the 18th mm-hmm. my dad texts and says that he has a meeting that he can't reschedule. And the only day that works for them is the 25th. So he asked to move the dinner to the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that works for me.
And the reason that they did this, because they thought if you were suspicious, mm-hmm. that you wouldn't think that there was time to change anything because this was such a last minute change.
Yep.
And if you were suspicious that it was going to be a proposal, then changing the date would like clear that up because you'd be like, oh, they would not change the date.
Exactly.
If this is what this was.
I mean, yeah. Like I would literally.
I mean, they thought of everything.
Everything. Everything. This was the thing with Kellen. So he had started going to a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday nights is like his only night to like get some stuff done. Mm-hmm. So it's either like pick that or the Bible study that he was going to go to. And so he didn't respond if he was going to Rebecca's birthday party. So I asked him in person because I was just kind of waiting around. And he was like, I don't know if I can make it. I really need to go to this Bible study. And I was like, okay, that, you know, that's completely respectable.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I was like, I'll miss you, but okay.
So it was a Pride and Prejudice theme.
That's right. Rebecca was like, Maria suggested we could do Pride and Prejudice theme for my birthday, and I love it. So we're all going to wear floral dresses.
Which was a ploy to get you to 100%. Dress up.
That was good because mm-hmm. I didn't feel good that day. So I was like, I had to put a dress on and a necklace. So anyways, we get to the day. Kellen's at small group, I think. And then we're all getting ready for Rebecca's birthday party. Okay. I had worn my glasses that day because my head was hurting and I was like, I don't want to wear my contacts. So whenever I get home from work, I change into my dress and we get ready to go. And I was like, wow, Catherine has done her hair.
Catherine's your sister.
Catherine's my sister. Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. I don't think I said that. I was always in the back of my mind, like, is this when it's going to happen? Is this when it's going to happen?
Which was another, okay, about the paranoia and the suspicion. When you went and got your nails done and you got acrylic.
Yes.
And you don't ever do that. No. And so your sister and your best friend were texting me saying, do you think that she knows? Because she's getting her nails done and she's getting the bougie ones.
Yeah, and I know the bougie ones.
I was like, listen, she doesn't know because we had just talked about this when we did the podcast.
Yeah.
And I said, I think, though, at this point, she just knows that it could happen mm-hmm. at any moment. But I don't think that the nail thing has anything to do with anything. It's just a, hey, I'm doing it. I'm with her. But also, just in case it happens, mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Exactly.
But anyway, the level
that was exactly
of,
where,
like,
right.
everything that you did was dissected to where they're like,
oh,
do you think
gosh.
She knows? So anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, there were several stories of that happening. So I had my glasses on and I went up to Catherine in the living room and I said, it's a good thing that this is just a chill birthday party at my parents' house since I have my glasses on. And I immediately looked at her.
Like
I said it like chill. And then I looked at her and she was like, yep. Mm-hmm, yep. So then I'm first one in the car and I text Kellen. I was like, you should be proud of me because I'm always late for everything. I'm actually on time. Which freaked my sister out because she's like, she knows, she knows. And apparently Kellen was in my family's living room at the time when he got that text. He was like, she knows.
So funny.
So we're in the car and I'm like, man, they're taking a minute to like get in the car, get on the road. Well, they got my contacts. They got my makeup. They got like, they got like an extra dress in case I wanted to change or something. I mean, they literally got me like a whole bag, a whole thought of everything. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny because I was kind of out of it that day. So I was just reading a book in the car and I was not paying attention to them at all. And they were both like sweating, like that we are so close. We just had to make it across the finish line.
Yes.
So we get down.
And you're oblivious in the back reading a book.
So, yeah, completely oblivious. Yes. We're on my parents' road, and then we start to pull in, and at the bottom of their driveway is like where cows live. Mm-hmm. So I always look at the cows, you know, I always look to see what they're doing. All I see is the hill and the house and then the hay bales. And then Kellen walks out from behind the hay bales, and I instantly know, because he was supposed to be at small group.
Right.
And I was like, stop it. So this is another layer of the story I haven't told yet. So at our small group the night before, mm-hmm. one of our friends was... He was talking to Rebecca in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I know. I could have killed him. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Call him out. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I walked in, they immediately kind of dispersed. And I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
So then they were like, you know, whatever. So when I get home with Rebecca, I asked her again. Mm-hmm. I was like, what were you guys talking about? And she gave me some sort of answer. And then she was just like, Laura, you just can't ask me those questions right now. I just moved on. So this is the big part of the story. I am taking a shower, and Rebecca's like, pops her head in the bathroom, and she's like, Laura, I will answer any question that you have, whatever you want to know, I will tell you, and I will decide if I can tell you this or not.
Like, kind you can of ask thing. Me anything, ask me and anything. I'll decide
right.
whether I can tell you or not.
And I said, okay, perfect. And apparently this was perfect because I could not see her face.
She doesn't have a poker face.
Yeah. So I was like, does he have a ring yet? This was September 17th, mm-hmm. mind you, the day before the proposal. The day before. And she was like, okay, I'll tell you this. He has it narrowed down to two rings.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Lie.
And I was like, oh my gosh, really? Okay, so that are they cute though? Like, do you like them? And she was like, Catherine and I both really like them, and they're really cute. And she said, Laura, you're gonna love either one of them that he picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, just laying it on thick. Mm-hmm. And so I believed her, you know, like, yeah. I don't know why I should have thought I should believe her.
Yeah.
You know, why would I think that she's telling me the truth about this? Because, right. you know, yeah. it's a secret. But I totally did. So then whenever I see Kellen the day after coming out from behind the hay bales, I immediately turned to her and I said, did you lie to me? And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen now. Yeah. I'm so clueless. Yeah. So then we get out and Kellen's like, let's go for a walk. I was like, okay. So he walks me down this trail, like along the creek where I used to play growing up. And he had these like rugs and these like lights, and he proposes. And it was kind of funny because I said, okay, you had to get down on my knee. And he was like, I'm going to, if you give me a second. He said, you haven't stopped talking to let me do this. And so that made me laugh even more. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So then he gets down on my knee, pulls the ring box out, and it was so beautiful. And I was just like, this is perfect. Yeah. Because I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
But I think I wanted it there. But then, I never really realized that.
Which makes it even more special.
Yeah.
Because you never talked about the where, the when, mm-hmm. or the why. And mm-hmm. he did that. And it was perfect. Yeah.
So after he proposes, there was another surprise. He said, we're having dinner with both of our families. So then I start crying again, like a whole nother layer of that. And he said, and then there's another surprise. I was like, what? And he said, I've booked a photographer that's going to be here in like, I don't know, 30 minutes. And he's going to take our pictures. And then we're going to get to have dinner with, you know, our parents and uh-huh. stuff. So we go up. I see all of my family standing at the top of the hill, and they have confetti cannons. And then I go hug my dad and my family and Kellen's family. And yeah. That was so sweet. And then Rebecca was like, do you want your contacts? I was like, yeah, there's a photographer coming. I need to go put my contacts on. Not that I don't like my glasses, but I had a nice dress on and stuff.
And yeah. they're your engagement pictures.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, yeah, you want them to be nice.
Yeah. So I went and did that. And then all of these secrets coming, like the FedEx text thread, the Spectrum. And then all of this stuff starts coming out. And yeah. I'm just... The shock that I'm in from just the proposal alone is like compounded by all of this other stuff.
And then all the extras that were added to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just so beautiful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still on cloud nine, as you can probably.
Yes. Well, we'll have to post a picture of your ring so everybody can see.
That, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That is a very beautiful engagement story, Laura.
Why do you say it like that, Liz?
I don't have a comparable beautiful engagement story. But since we are talking about Halloween today and engagements, coincidentally, my engagement happened on Halloween.
Because you love Halloween.
19 years ago.
Yeah.
19 years ago. My husband Ben and I, when we were dating, we were going to a Halloween party. It was thoughtful because, like I said, Halloween's one of my favorite days of the year. Mm-hmm. And when we were younger and we were dating, it was a big deal. Our friends would host a Halloween party, like a big Halloween party. He lived downtown Lexington at the time, so everybody went out on Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. I just thought it was so fun and so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing funnier, in my opinion, than, like, seeing adult people dressed in ridiculous costumes, like, walking down the street or driving in a car or mm-hmm. something like that. So we were going to a Halloween party, and we were running late. And I was dressed up as Peyton Manning, at the time, who was the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
He was my favorite quarterback at the time. He is my favorite team at the time. And so I was dressed up as an NFL quarterback.
That's amazing.
And Ben dressed up as an NFL official, like with a referee costume uh-huh. and stuff. And we were on our way to a friend's Halloween party in costume. I did have makeup on, because I wanted to still look like a girl.
Right.
And my hair was kind of like on top of my head, like in just like a messy bun or whatever. But yeah, I had the black under my eyes, like the football players do. And I was in a costume. Or no, it wasn't even a costume. It was an actual football uniform. Like I went to a uniform store and I bought like an actual football uniform.
Yeah.
And had a Colts jersey on and stuff. And so we were getting ready to leave for the party and we were running late. And I was like, come on, we gotta go, because that's me. I'm like, mm-hmm. come on, we gotta go. And mm-hmm. Ben's always late. And he's like, wait. Like, we don't have to go yet. And I'm like, yes, we do. Like, yeah. we're supposed to be there. And he was like, wait, I've got something for you. And so to go along with his costume, he had made these penalty flags, the yellow penalty flags. But he had put candy corn in them, and he was joking that he was going to, at the party, he was going to throw them at people and like call them out for whatever and just kind of be funny. And so, yeah, he was like, I have one of these for you. And I was like, you what? I was so confused.
Uh-huh.
He was like, you what? And he was like, one of these is for you. I was like, the candy corn?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but it's not candy corn. I made one for you. And I was like, ugh. I was actually frustrated because we were running behind.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, fine. And he was like, sit here. And he wasn't even sitting with me. He was like, sit here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like kind of standing in the doorway next to the kitchen. But he had a camera set up where he was recording it. And I didn't know that.
So
I sat on the chair and he handed me the thing. He was like, open it. And so I was like, okay, fine. So I open it and inside of it is a ring. And I just looked at him and was like, shut
up.
And he just didn't say a word. And I was like, shut up. He's not talking and I'm telling him to shut up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he just like was smiling or whatever. And then finally I was like, are you going to ask me something? And so then he comes into the living room and he's like down on one knee.
Aww.
And he's asked me if I'll marry him. And I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, put it on. Like, I'm telling him what to do too. Just like you're telling Kellen to get on one knee. I'm like, put it on me. And so then we go to the Halloween party and I'm dressed like Peyton Manning.
That's so
And good. I have an engagement ring on my finger and I'm showing it to everybody. Like, at a Halloween party.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was, yeah. So that's
my perfect engagement party, though. You know, the same night you got engaged and you're all dressed up.
We did not have engagement photos taken of us that night.
So funny.
But yeah. So, but again, if you all know me, that suits me perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I was just talking to Laura about a small group that we had last night with some women at my church, and we were talking about romance, and my initial reaction to being romance was, ugh, gross. I'm not that girl. And so this was perfect for me. Number one, it gives me a really funny story mm-hmm. to tell.
Oh, it's so good.
But also, like, again, there was thought put into it because Halloween is my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite days of the year. So mm-hmm. he was like, okay, that's perfect. I'm going to propose to her on Halloween because she loves
football.
It. And I love football. And so it was all of the things that I love. Well, not all the things, but a lot of the things that I love combined into one. So, I mean, so yeah. And the humor of it too. Again, if you know me, this was the perfect way to propose
so
to me.
Good.
It is not the romantic story that Laura just told, but it was the perfect engagement story for us. And so that leads us to Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blah, blah, blah. We are going to talk about Halloween because it's the season.
It is the season. It's literally in a few days.
Yes. We started to talk about Halloween.
Yes.
And Halloween is one of my favorite days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just really like Halloween. I grew up with a rich tradition around Halloween where my neighborhood kind of went all out. We decorated. We were the neighborhood where people wanted to come trick-or-treating.
Aww.
And so it was just a really fun time. Our school did fall festivals and things like that, and we had a haunted house, and like the top floor of our school was like converted to a haunted house. And so anyway, I just have a lot of fond memories around Halloween, which is probably why it's one of my favorite days of the year.
Now what day is it on?
October 31st.
I was just testing your knowledge, so you really liked it.
Okay. Every year, October 31st.
It doesn't change.
No. Like,
Easter changes.
Other things.
4th of July changes.
Do you know? Okay. Not to change the subject, but I'm not kidding. Every year, my husband, Ben, asks me what day Thanksgiving is on. And I'm like, it's Thursday. And he's always like, what day does it fall on this year? I'm like, every year, Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
He's like, I can't ever remember that. I'm like, well, Thanksgiving.
It's always the fourth Thursday, right?
Yeah. But I'm like, let's do a little.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's a good way to remember it.
Yeah. So anyway, today's about Halloween or Hallows Eve.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about our own experiences with Halloween traditions. And then we're also going to talk about generational traditions and differences with Halloween. So happy Halloween.
What?
Witch cackling.
I actually watched that movie last night.
What movie? Hocus Pocus?
The Witch.
Oh, The Witch.
It's actually scary. I couldn't watch a few scenes. I just like looked away. Mm. But like overall, it was historical fiction. So it was like fun in that way. So if you're not a scary movie person, I would not recommend it.
I used to be a scary movie person. I think we talked about this in
in the fall feels
episode. Go listen to that if you haven't.
Yeah.
I think you have to listen to that one before you listen to this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a requirement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one isn't unlocked until you listen to the other one.
All right. You got to get the secret code from the Fall Feels episode. To watch this one. I mean, listen to this one.
And then you can watch this one when you get the key for that at the end of this episode.
Okay. I'm confused now.
I'm just kidding.
But no. So in the Fall Feels episode, we talked a little bit about like movies and getting cozy and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I shared that I used to love scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like them anymore because I'm the one of the adults in the house. Mm-hmm. And so if anything happens, I'm the person responsible. And so watching a scary movie just makes my mind go.
Yeah.
And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night. And I'll just be thinking about the movie that I watched. And then I get in my own head about it. And it just freaks me out.
Yeah,
so I used to love it. And now I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
But I do love getting dressed up.
Yes.
And now that I'm a parent, I love the whole tradition of taking my kids trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. But I really loved sitting on the porch and giving out candy. Aww. And then I'll play like the spooky music and stuff in the background. And yeah,
it's I love just that song, Spooky Scary Skeletons and Shivers Down Your Spine.
Yeah.
I did not sing that
right. Monster Mash.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
Thriller.
Yep.
Yeah, all mm-hmm. of those. So yeah, and we just always... Like, I always make a pot of chili and cider or hot chocolate. Mm. And when our friends come through the neighborhood, we'll invite them in if they want to, like, hang out, have some chili or whatever. So it's a fun time.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you make peanut butter sandwiches to go with your chili?
I do not. I do pimento cheese sandwiches.
Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible.
Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people that do peanut butter.
Yeah, and I knew that was a thing, mm-hmm. but I kind of had forgotten about it because I didn't grow up with those.
Yeah.
With chili, but my friend made those when we had our small group with uh-huh. chili, and I was like, wow, I forgot that people did this. And I don't think I'd ever had it before, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
So when I was in elementary school, our cafeteria would serve peanut butter sandwiches. With chili.
Oh.
And a, like, cheese stick.
Interesting.
I know. I just thought it was weird because it was school cafeteria lunch.
Right. But. Maybe it's just a thing.
Okay. Here's another question about chili.
Okay.
Do you put noodles in your chili?
No.
Me either.
Now, I will make, now my mom did this growing up too. Mm-hmm. So not in the chili, mm-hmm. but mac and cheese on the side. Mm-hmm. And you put it in the same bowl together.
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes.
So that's really good.
But that's not like the way that I eat chili.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, it used to be just chili, cheese, and salt and crackers. That's mm-hmm. kind of how mm-hmm. I eat chili. Yeah. And now I like to throw a little avocado in there.
Yeah. Some I like green to put onion. Fritos in there too.
Ooh,
that's
so good.
And sometimes, so the Korean in me is coming out. Sometimes I'll have chili over rice.
Oh, yum.
And then top it with kimchi. Ooh. I am telling you guys, if you have never tried Ooh. This, you must try this.
That sounds
it
amazing.
Is delicious.
I love kimchi.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It is.
Okay. Talking about Halloween traditions, Laura, what was some of your Halloween traditions?
We did fall festivals.
Uh-huh.
We didn't dress up or do anything like that. Uh-huh. We didn't. Because, I mean, I got scared easily mm-hmm. as a child, so we didn't really do anything scary.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of fall stuff, so yeah. I didn't have a lot of Halloween stuff until I got my puppy, Pretzel, and then I dress up with him. We do corresponding outfits, so.
She just showed me a video of her putting his costume on.
For this year, yep.
It is adorable.
I'm so excited.
Was it a T-Rex?
It's supposed to be an iguana, so he's going to be an iguana. No, but I think it's got the scales down the back. Yes. So it's similar, because I did think about McCray.
Yeah. Yeah. So last year, McCray was a green T-Rex, and this year he is an orange and yellow T-Rex. Oh, he just wanted to be a T-Rex. So let's talk about different generations and their Halloween traditions. Okay, so you guys,
the boomers
on Instagram, though, let us know what your Halloween traditions are mm-hmm. and things that you loved growing up. Mm-hmm. So as you know, once again, let me remind you, I'm Gen X and Laura is Gen Z. But we both kind of hover close to the edge of millennials. Mm-hmm. I hover towards the older millennials. She hovers towards the younger millennials. And so I feel like once we start talking about this, a lot of these things are going to be kind of relatable to us. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. So yeah, starting with the boomers. Once again, boomers were born between roughly 1946 to 1964. And many of their costumes were homemade, which kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They made costumes from things that they found around the house, like old clothes or bed sheets. Okay, I actually want to be a bed sheet ghost for Halloween.
Oh, that's what I was last year.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw something on Instagram that were like all these different funny variations of the traditional sheet ghost costume, mm-hmm. and I cannot find it to save my life because there were some really good ones there.
That's fun.
And so I want to do that. If you guys know what I'm talking about, like, let me know because I cannot find it. But there were so many cute options. So yeah, and simple masks. Store-bought costumes were less common during that time, and they were often similar. So that's costumes for boomers.
Then we have Gen X, mm-hmm. roughly born between 1965 and 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Costumes for them were store-bought. They, was more popular then and more detailed. Gen X kids still did some DIY, but TV characters, superheroes, and pop culture figures did dominate.
Okay, let me tell you my favorite costume that I ever had when I was a kid. It was a three-headed skeleton. And so my
Skelly.
Head in the middle was one of the skeletons. And then it had like blow up skeleton heads on the side. And I got extra candy that year because people were like, here's some for you and here's some for your friends. And that's why it was my favorite costume, because I got extra candy that year.
That's store-bought. Really good.
Store-bought costume.
Yes. Yeah. That would be really difficult to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom did my makeup and she made me look all like a skeleton. And that was really fun. I was really young. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how old I was, but I'll never forget that costume because I got
extra candy.
Extra candy. I mean, yeah. And so millennials born 1981 to 1996, costumes for them, not surprisingly, millennials took costumes to the next level with more emphasis on creativity and pop culture references. Social media began influencing costume trends. And I feel like this is also where we started to see those like punny costumes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like chick magnet.
Uh-huh. Deviled egg.
Deviled egg. We were going to a Halloween party that night that I got engaged, and my best friend, she was dressed as, quote, hell on wheels.
Oh.
So she was like a rollerblading devil.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that's when we started to see millennials, mm-hmm. or when we started to see those really creative costumes, play on word type of thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. One year at work, actually, my coworker, she was like, we should do filter and no filter. So we wore the exact same outfit, but uh-huh. she did not wear makeup or did her hair, and she was no filter. And I did, and I was like the filter.
That's cute.
So it was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gen Z costumes, 1997 to 2012, they were born. Gen Z embraced highly creative. Mm-hmm. So we're getting even more creative, mm-hmm. internet inspired costumes, from memes to viral TikTok trends. Cosplay also influenced Halloween with more elaborate and fandom-based costumes. I actually had to look up cosplay too long ago, because I was like, what is cosplay? Mm-hmm. Isn't it just a costume? Mm-hmm. So I had to get a little bit more information on, and I think it is, but I think it's more specific, right, to like specific characters.
You should tell us what that means.
I actually don't know.
Oh, you don't remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay.
Google that.
Okay. That's fine.
But
I'll give you a pass.
Yeah. Do you know?
I know some people that do cosplay. That's why I was asking. It's an activity in performance art in which participants called cosplayers wear costumes in fashion. Aren't you not supposed to use the word in the definition of the word that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Isn't that against the rules?
Bad form. Wikipedia.
Anyway.
Yeah. So moving on to Gen Alpha. Now, we don't talk a lot about Gen Alpha because Gen Alpha is kind
We're still being studied.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that we do know and a lot of things that are TBD. Mm-hmm. But for now, because it's Halloween and this is fun, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So Gen Alpha costumes are often based on trending shows, YouTube personalities, or popular video games like Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox. Parents often coordinate family costumes with kids.
That's a big one. Yeah.
We haven't, I don't think we've done that yet, or we've done a family costume. Mm-hmm. Although I did think, since McCray is a dinosaur again, that like a Jurassic Park theme would be kind of cute.
So,
and also kind of easy. My oldest, he's done different things. We're getting to that age where like, he may or may not want to go trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. But in the past, he's done things where people are just like, what is it? What are you supposed to be? Because it's like he was like a Nerf warrior.
Okay.
One year where he basically just put on all of his Nerf battle.
Oh my gosh. Stuff, that's so funny.
And that's what he wanted to do. But he always came up with these like really costume ideas that I couldn't just go buy.
Mm.
And I had to make, or like, I didn't have to, but I did. Like 1 year
like
he said,
like the pun ones or something different.
Well, 1 year he said he wanted to be a ghost. And I was like, oh, okay. Let's do that. Okay. That's easy. And then he was like, but I want it to be like a flowy ghost that looks like it's floating. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so he showed me a picture and it was like a ghost made of like tulle. And so
that's cool.
Yeah. So it was cool, but I like had to make that.
Yeah.
And then 1 year he said he wanted to be a transformer. And I was like, oh, okay. There's lots of transformer costumes. But he's like, no. But I want to be the one that actually transforms into a car. And he saw a video a parent made that. It. And I was like, oh, so
making I that.
Didn't make it at the level that he probably wanted, but he was young enough where it didn't matter. I basically made a box that he could wear that looked like a car. And if he squatted down on the floor,
that's amazing.
He could hide into it.
Oh, that's so cute.
But yeah, so he always comes up with these outfits where I'm like, honey. So yeah, so he always comes up with, now last year he was Michael Jackson with the red leather jacket and stuff. Super easy. Mm-hmm. Like that was no problem whatsoever. Thank goodness. So I don't know. And then we also have this giant panda head. He seems to like to just put that on every year and scare people. That'll works work. For me too. Yeah. He's Gen Alpha. That's why I bring him up. Mm-hmm. He's Gen Alpha. So
yes.
Okay. So that's costumes.
Yep. Okay.
Go back to the boomers. What about trick-or-treating?
Trick-or-treating for the baby boomers became a major Halloween activity during their generation. Neighborhoods were often seen as safe and kids roamed freely, often unsupervised, gathering large hauls of candy. Then we have Gen X for trick-or-treating. There were some changes in this generation. There was a growing awareness of safety concerns, such as tampered candy.
Yeah, do you remember this? Yes. Don't you think there was like a whole PSA? Like, I remember every year
around the razor blade and the apple scare?
Every year. Like, there would be this like massive.
I do see stuff like me. You know, like, watch your candy because there might be Michael Jackson in there.
Like,
you
in
know,
school, like, leading up to Halloween, there was always this, like, don't eat any candy without checking it and stranger danger and all this stuff, which I think it's interesting that the boomers were, like, unsupervised. Mm-hmm. And I get that like, things were safer or whatever back then. But don't you think it's interesting that we went from this, like, unsupervised kids go trick-or-treating? So, obviously, things happened with letting the children go unsupervised.
Right.
And then the shift to that, what we have often talked about is like the pendulum swinging from one to the next.
Right.
So then the shift became this super like, okay, not only are you not going to be unsupervised, but just this big safety messaging around trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that too. It was like not unsupervised anymore. It was also like checking your candy. Mm-hmm. It was like lights, like going out with flashlights and glow sticks and things like that. It just became more safety awareness around the activity of trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that was interesting. But it still was safer.
Right.
Like I remember, like I said, I'd go around trick-or-treating. My parents took me when I was younger, but then when I got a little bit older, it was not a big deal for me to just go with my friends and them not come with us. But I don't know that I would do that now. I think that
it says that led to more supervised trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And some parents accompanied their children door to door. So like as a younger child, you were
siblings and it wasn't it wasn't even like they would let them take me my parents took all of us
that's so interesting.
So the millennials trick-or-treating declined in some areas. Traditional trick-or-treating declined due to safety concerns, so there again that like apple. It's becoming even more of a thing. And with more parents opting for mall trick-or-treating, trunk-or-treat events, or community gatherings. And I think we see a lot of that, like even now, we do trunk-or-treating here in our community. We do like a main street, downtown businesses type of trick-or-treating. I know the mall, I don't know if they still do, but they used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess I knew that things kind of moved in that direction, but I guess I never really related it to like a safety thing.
That is a really interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
Gen Z also had a further decline for trick-or-treating. It can continue to decline as parents leaned toward more controlled environments like school or community events. There's also been a rise in Halloween alternatives where families might avoid Halloween altogether, which I was that generation.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
That's interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like when you talked about like your Halloween traditions were more of like fall traditions mm-hmm. and stuff, I honestly just thought that was like specific to your family mm-hmm. and what they just chose to do. But to see that a lot of people within that generation, that's yeah. what their families chose to do. That's right. interesting. Okay. And Alpha trick or treating. We're talking about the ones that are trick or treating
right now.
Today that are going to yep. be out this yep. week. Out trick-or-treating, and Generation Alpha is experiencing a more cautious form of trick-or-treating, with neighborhood safety concerns again continuing, and alternatives like trunk-or-treat or community events becoming more common.
So this is basically saying the tables are flipping. Yeah. Like, we're doing the community events instead of trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that eventually, because I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about how the last couple of years, they really haven't had a whole lot of trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if eventually we just won't have.
See, we don't have anyone come to our house, and we have kids in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you either go to a neighborhood that's known for
yeah.
trick-or-treaters, uh-huh. or you just don't do it, I think, is at this point. Or you go to a trunk-or-treat event,
yeah.
you know.
We've lived in two different neighborhoods since we've been married, and both neighborhoods were pretty big on trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, now we live in a neighborhood where there aren't as many younger kids.
Right.
And the houses are further apart. In the neighborhood we used to live in, like, the houses were really close together. When we took the kids trick-or-treating in our old neighborhood, like, we'd hit house after house after house because they're close together, right?
Right, right.
And I didn't think about that the first year we went trick-or-treating in our new neighborhood. Well, it's not new now, but when we moved to mm-hmm. this neighborhood and the houses being further apart. So there are some people, like, take their golf carts out. And I remember the first year we lived there and we had friends who had a golf cart, and they took their golf cart out trick-or-treating, and they were like, hey, do you guys want to come with us? Mm. And I was like, absolutely not. We are not riding a golf cart. But then when I realized yeah. the houses being further apart, like, it took a lot longer to get down the street. Mm-hmm. And then you only had like 4 pieces of candy. And I yeah. was like, okay, actually, yeah, I think we will take you up on the golf cart, right? Yeah. And the kids were like, my feet hurt. And that's what I see in our neighborhood. There are a lot of people that like walk around still. There are some golf carts, but then there are also people that are just like, they're just cruising and letting mm-hmm. their kids out as pulling a wagon.
Yeah.
And
I was
going to
say,
like,
did you pull your son in a wagon?
I did, yeah.
Which, you know, chauffeur.
He was little.
Yeah,
though.
He was a baby.
Yeah. I don't think a wagon could hold him now. I mean, I don't think it could contain him now.
Right, right. He would
walk.
Jump out.
Yeah.
For sure.
I know it's on the decline, but I hope we don't completely move away from it, because mm-hmm. I really love it. Like I said, I love taking my kids trick-or-treating, but I love sitting on the porch, giving out candy, and seeing yeah. everybody's costumes. It's just fun.
Yeah. The third point we have is the social part of yeah. Halloween, but it changes because the generations changed. As we know, social media happened upon us.
Mm-hmm.
So for the boomers, community events was a big deal. Halloween often featured parades, parties, and haunted houses put on by local organizations or schools.
I love that.
Have you ever done a haunted house?
Yes, I've done many.
I have not.
Never?
Never. It scares me.
Okay. I used to love, again, with the scary
right.
movies, I used to love it.
Right.
I used to love to be scared, which, again, is probably why Halloween's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love going to haunted houses. It's just kind of like the thrill and
okay.
the adrenaline.
Right. And it's kind of funny to watch other people, like, scream.
Yes. And it's like a lot of the jump scares, you know. And, yeah. But, okay, so it occurred to me, and it's probably because I watched too many movies, but it occurred to me that, like, you're putting a lot of trust mm-hmm. in the haunted house that you go to, or haunted field, or whatever. And it occurred to me that it would be like a good, not a good place, but it would be a place where something actually could happen.
True.
And everybody would just think it's part of the yeah. the haunted house, I don't know, event or
yeah,
whatever.
Definitely.
And nobody would think that
Bat
anything
mind.
Was wrong. And mm-hmm. so I don't know, again, I got into my head, and I probably saw that on a movie somewhere,
probably,
and I'm just like, yep, nope, no thank you, I'm out. And so I don't do haunted houses anymore. I also used to love going to, like, actual real, like, Ghostbusters place, not Ghostbusters,
Ghostbusters
Ghost Adventures,
that's what
places
that's so funny.
You know, like, places that were supposed to be, like, truly haunted.
Oh,
my gosh, I loved that stuff. And now
crazy.
I'm like, no, I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll pass on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So Gen X, This might explain a lot about me being a Gen X.
Oh, I think so.
So Halloween parties. Halloween began shifting from a kids only holiday to one celebrated by adults too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as a Gen X, I saw this where my, like I said, it was a whole family thing. Like my parents got really into Halloween. I don't recall any Halloween parties, but I remember that like my parents, my dad would get dressed up on Halloween. He would sit on the porch and give out candy. He'd scare kids. He would get all into decorating the yard like a cemetery or something like that.
That's so, fun.
Yeah, he was really into it. And so, and Gen X led the way in organizing adult Halloween parties and costume contests and themed events. And so I didn't realize that this happened during my generation and upbringing, but I remember that those things happened. And so it's probably part of the reason that I love it so much, because I saw it as something fun, not just for me as a kid, but I saw that my parents really enjoyed it. And our school would do a Halloween festival and a haunted house. And so it was just a really fun family thing for all of us to do. And then, like I said, when I was older, I was engaged the night of a Halloween party that we were going to. So something that we continued.
Well, and it talks about for the millennials, it became a major holiday for millennials in their 20s and 30s with themed parties. So that makes total sense about you. And costumes for adults became a major industry. So Peyton Manning, hey, I mean, there you go.
When I was in college, it was a big thing. Like, and even after I graduated college, I remember like I said, Ben lived downtown Lexington and people were dressed up and
that's funny.
Yeah. And I just think it's hilarious to see adults dressed up as like random things. The other day, I was reminded of the fact that I used to have a red Dodge Neon and Ben, who is 6'5", used to drive my little red Dodge Neon, and somebody made a joke about him being a clown. And I said, okay, fun fact, actually one year for Halloween, he was a clown.
Oh my gosh.
And it was when I had that little red Dodge Neon and he drove it, and it was like full on costume where he's in this little clown car. This giant 6'5" clown. So
you should have gotten some of his friends to dress up like clowns too.
That and see, we were going to a Halloween party. Yeah. And so, once again,
that's so good.
It's a big tradition for us.
That's so funny.
until we had kids, and now we have the Halloween parties. So.
Yeah.
So Gen Z, not a whole lot of parties, but social media.
More online experience as well as the in-person one, but more about the online.
And they post costume reveals. It's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, I get that because I haven't really told a lot of people what Pretzel and I are going to be for Halloween this year. Because it's more like, surprise, no, this is what we are. It's more of the wow factor for me. Like, I have to like get a good reaction from people, you know?
Yeah. Makeup tutorials.
Ooh. I love watching those. People like transform. Yeah. Into something else. It's crazy.
Listen, that's a whole generational conversation that we can have too, is makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I see people generations below me and their makeup is on point.
Yeah.
And I am like, how do they do that? Mm-hmm. How do they know how to do that? And then when I talk to them, they're like YouTube tutorials. And then I'll watch one and I'm like, I don't have time for this, but it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the patience to do that. And if that's what it's required in order to have that like on point, perfect makeup, then I just won't.
Yeah,
but it looks really good for the ones that do.
Yeah.
I just don't have the patience for it. Okay. And Gen Alpha, it's all about technology, which makes sense. Cause listen, the 13, 12, 11 year olds are not going out partying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope not. Yeah. Anyway, it's a whole other episode right there, guys. But like Halloween apps, AR, interactive Halloween experiences are emerging. Gen Alpha is growing up with Halloween being a more tech-driven experience where social media games and virtual elements play a significant role. That is interesting, kind of scary, and I'm kind of fascinated to see where that goes.
Yeah, for sure. It's the kind of like the unknown.
Yeah.
We've never had this before.
And my perspective being one that's all about like community and Halloween parties and things like that. It's like, what does that even look like when you talk about it being a technical,
tech-driven experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see on that one, to be continued.
The last two points we have here are all different for the generations. So, yeah. So for the boomers, we have TV and pop culture, Halloween specials and spooky TV shows like It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown became holiday staples. Listen, I love me some good old Charlie Peanuts Brown. Show, mm-hmm. Charlie Brown. Like that, whenever I saw like that was on or like the Thanksgiving episode
yeah.
or like the day after Thanksgiving, the Christmas episode came yeah. on. It's like, okay, the season's oh, changing mm-hmm. when Charlie Brown comes on the TV.
That is true. That is true. I remember watching these when I was younger and like being so entertained by them, but I turned on It's the Great Pumpkin
Aww.
The other day. For my kids to watch, mm-hmm. and they were kind of bored.
Oh no!
Yeah,
not very like it's not very stimulating.
Well, and I realized that it's a little boring, and I think honestly, I just didn't have a whole lot of options.
No, exactly.
And so it was super entertaining mm-hmm. for me, and I think now they're just like everybody's so overstimulated yeah. that they're just like this is kind of slow.
Yeah,
and I mean. My three-year-old, really. I mean, he still liked it, but mm-hmm. there got a point where he was like, okay, I'm done with this.
I'm bored.
But he's three.
Watch dinosaurs.
Yeah. So that was boomers. And so Gen X, like we talked about, the haunted attractions. So haunted houses and hayrides. Theme park Halloween events, like Universal's Halloween Horror Nights became more popular.
Oh, interesting.
I actually forgot about this. So, yes, Kings Island is kind of close to us a little
okay.
bit. And so my brother actually lives near Cincinnati. And I remember he would take me when I was in college, but he and I would go together and we'd like go with our friends. But Kings Island in October, they would at night mm-hmm. Have this kind of like fright night or whatever okay. at the park, and the workers were dressed up in costumes and you ride the rides in the mm-hmm. dark. That is really fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't think about that. I completely forgot about that actually.
That's funny.
That was definitely something that I have experienced and enjoyed.
For millennials, it says pop culture influence. Millennial culture embraced the spooky season with popular horror films, Halloween-themed video games, and TV shows, contributing to the rise of the spooky season as a month-long celebration. So did we change?
Spooky season.
Yeah, spooky season. So instead of just Halloween as a day,
yeah.
it's spooky season. Kind of like how Christmas has kind of evolved
yeah.
from Christmas Eve, you put your tree up, to it starts the day after Thanksgiving and you have a whole month.
It's actually earlier than that now.
I know. Isn't that
crazy? It's kind of like the day after Halloween. It's people just kind of skip yeah. Thanksgiving decorations.
Yeah. That's a whole different kind of conversation.
I did not realize that it was like this whole spooky season. Like I've heard that phrase, but I guess I didn't realize it was an actual thing.
Oh,
I just thought
is.
It was kind of like a marketing thing that people were saying. But I don't know. I feel like, no offense, millennials, but I feel like it's been a thing where like for a while people have, and maybe it did start with millennials, but like you'd have like networks showing scary movies all month long
mm-hmm.
and they would call it like Oktoberfest or October uh-huh. something another. And now we've just put a new name on it called
yeah,
spooky season. But like, even though on Halloween, a lot of times we'll binge watch like Halloween movies,
mm-hmm.
but like, I would always watch them leading up to Halloween. It's not
right.
like I just waited for October 31st
yeah.
to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking the millennials for the spooky season, but I'm saying I feel like we maybe have done this for a while,
right.
but we just didn't call it spooky season.
So you're saying millennials can't own spooky season.
I mean, they can own spooky season.
But they can't own the idea behind it.
I don't think so.
Or the feeling.
I don't think so. But then again, like I said, I am on that line of Gen X millennial. So
right.
maybe just because I've experienced
right.
my home life, that might be proof
yeah.
that it actually is a millennial thing.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, also, but like your family was big into Halloween.
Right.
So it could be just a family thing, too.
Could also be that. But I do like the idea of spooky season
yeah,
because I do
sure.
think that Halloween deserves more than just one day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot more to do than just what you can fit into one day.
For sure.
Well, and then it goes into Gen Z. So Halloween has evolved into full spooky season for Gen Z, extending the holiday beyond one night to encompass the entire month of October, which is what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. This includes horror movie marathons, haunted escape rooms, and virtual reality horror experiences.
Ooh, a haunted escape room. Mm-hmm. Fun.
That is pretty fun.
We need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, that is awesome. Okay, so for Gen Alpha, there's something here about sustainability. There's growing awareness of environmental issues among parents of Gen Alpha with an emphasis on eco-friendly costumes and decorations.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me, how would you make an eco-friendly costume, Gen Alpha parent?
Out of recycled? I don't know. Honestly, when I read that, the first thought in my head was boring.
Man, saving the planet is boring.
No, it's not. It is not. But I was just thinking in the grand scheme of Halloween, I'm like, it's one day a year. Right. Like, I mean, well.
So I guess what they're saying is like, make it yourself instead of buying a bunch.
Yeah, because I do understand like if it's a Halloween costume, you buy it. Like how many people are out there buying Halloween costumes that they're going to wear one day?
Okay, I do. I see that.
I get that.
Right.
But for us, like, we'll buy a costume and we'll keep it and hope that the next one will wear the same thing, which sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. So I get that because there is a lot of waste when it comes to buying a Halloween
costume.
That
does make sense. I do get the one day out of the year.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just, it's not as much fun as the other things. And so the last point that we're going to talk about are different for everybody, but decorations for baby boomers.
Pumpkin carving.
Yeah, it was a key activity.
And the decorations were limited compared to today. Porch lights, jack-o'-lanterns, and paper cutouts. You know, those just seem like fun.
Good, wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Traditional.
Halloween, traditional.
Retro, yeah. I like it. So
get back to the basics.
Don't overcomplicate.
And you know what? That's really interesting because down here at Gen Alpha with the sustainability.
Yeah. It's kind of full
wasteful.
Circle.
And then back in the boomers era, they were very sustainable with their decorations.
But the interesting thing is the motivation or the reason behind it. Like for Gen Alpha, it's for sustainability. For boomers, it was just the simplicity of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for Gen X, that changes a little bit. Decorations became more elaborate with inflatable lawn figures, themed lights, animatronics. Halloween decorations started to rival Christmas displays in some neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Okay, now, we went all out, like I said, but we didn't have lights or animatronics, none of that. What my dad would do was he would make tombstones out of like scrap wood or whatever that we had, and he would put them in the yard.
That's so funny.
And so they were still like homemade, but they were more elaborate than a jack-o'-lantern.
More imaginative.
Yeah. And so millennial decorations embrace extravagant. So we're going bigger now.
Yeah.
Extravagant Halloween decor. Or with entire front yards transformed into spooky scenes.
Spooky.
Technology allowed for projection displays, sound effects, and motion-sensitive decorations. Those jump scare me every single
time. I have a motion-sensitive decoration in my backyard right now.
You do?
It's a skunk deterrent so my dog doesn't get sprayed by a skunk again.
Oh.
But every time you walk past it, it goes beep. And then it flashes a bright light. So I was like, I could just put this in my front yard for Halloween.
That's funny. It
would be scary.
So at Lowe's right now, there's this whole section of these inflatables and motion sensor things. And if we happen to take our three-year-old in there with us, like we don't leave from that section. And at first I thought he was going to be scared. Uh-huh. No, he loves it.
Oh,
he
that's amazing.
Loves it. And they're giant. I'm talking like giant inflatables. Okay, moving on to Gen Z. We're not even talking about decorations anymore, people. We're talking about virtual celebrations. So the pandemic led to a rise in virtual Halloween celebrations for Gen Z, from online costume contests to virtual haunted houses. And some of these trends have persisted, with tech shaping how they celebrate. For real?
That's wild. Now, I don't know that, like, this is like, you know, not everybody.
But a virtual haunted house?
I don't know how. I mean, unless
what
it's like
that?
VR. It could be VR. That stuff's scary.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not even have to be scary. It just like you put that on your eyes and you're like, okay, where am I?
Yeah, that's true.
So okay, well, I did that, that once, and I was kind of scared.
There used to be a game that was a VR, like, mm-hmm. haunted house game, mm-hmm. and those, yeah, it was scary.
Okay.
I guess if it's VR, I can kind of get that. But okay, so Gen Alpha, this is talking about a year-round influence for Gen Alpha. Halloween might not just be about the holiday, but rather an ongoing part of pop culture. And with Halloween-related games, toys, and media keeping the spooky spirit alive all year. Okay, so immediately what I think of is Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
Like how popular mm-hmm. that series was. Historically, you would only watch stuff like that around the spooky season, right? But that has been a super popular series uh-huh. that is not specific to October.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense. I can see that.
Wow, Halloween. So you said you might do Jurassic Park this year.
Possibly.
I haven't revealed mine, but mm-hmm. but I might reveal it.
Do you want to reveal it?
I'll tell you what I was the past 3 years with Pretzel.
Okay. Pretzel is Laura's dog.
Pretzel is my dog. He's 4 now. So every year we've done something for Halloween. And the first year I was Little Red Riding Hood. And he was the big bad wolf dressed up in the grandma outfit. Love he had it. A wig. He had glasses and pearls and a shirt. I mean, it was the whole nine yards. Nightgown, I mean. It was amazing. He sat for the picture like the bestest boy uh-huh. because my sister was holding a piece of bacon in front of him. So, of course, we got the
whatever
greatest
works.
Picture.
Whatever works.
The second year, Kellen and I did Trunk or Treat.
Uh-huh.
So he was Shrek, and he asked me to be Fiona. Oh, so cute. And then
oh,
Pretzel.
Sorry.
Aww,
yeah, come so on. Cute.
We need the affirmation here.
Yeah. So cute. That's adorable.
And then Pretzel was Puss in Boots. And then last year, we were the sheet ghosts. And he participated for about 5 seconds. So we don't have a picture with him, but we have a picture of him separate.
Was he a sheet ghost too?
Yeah, he was.
Aww.
And he, the only thing we kind of got out of that was his teeth through the sheet.
Mm.
He didn't love it. But yeah. This year, I think he likes his costume this year. I think it'll go good.
To be continued.
I'll just reveal it next time.
No.
Yeah, it has to be a
yes,
surprise.
You're Gen Z. Posting costume reveals on social media. Gen Z. It's confirmed.
Yeah.
So you'll do the true Gen Z thing yeah. and do a reveal,
a big old reveal.
Post mm-hmm. of your Halloween costume.
Yep. And it's going to be amazing.
Okay. I gave mine away like right out of the bat. It might be Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's okay.
It might not. I don't know.
And who knows? Maybe you'll just be Liz.
Just be me. So. Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, I hope you enjoyed this Halloween episode. This was pretty fun to talk about.
Yeah. Does this really matter?
No.
Mm-mm.
It does not matter. It's just fun.
It is so much fun, which is why I think another reason I love Halloween, because it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. Like, you can't take people too seriously that are dressed up in ridiculous costumes.
Gosh. Yeah.
So it's just like the night or the day or the time to just be silly.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, how many opportunities do you have just to dress up yeah. in a costume?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think it's fun. So, yeah, happy Halloween.
Okay. And have a great one.
Yeah, let us know if you do think that this matters. why or why not?
And if you have a funny Halloween story.
Yeah, that's what I would love to hear are mm-hmm. like your Halloween stories or your Halloween traditions. Or if you've got any suggestions on some fun things that we should do or yeah. that everybody else should try for Halloween. So until next time, we will be moving right along. And we have some guests that
yeah.
we're going
it's
to be
pretty good.
Talking to some guests we have already talked to
mm-hmm.
and we'll be putting that out there soon.
Be fun.
Check it out and we'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye. Happy Halloween. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And we're out.
Blah, blah, blah.